Greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's certainly good to be back home again. We've been gone the last two Sundays, and seems like a lot of things happened during that time, and a lot of new faces that we saw, but it's good to be back home. I want to welcome each one to our service this morning, our visitors and our own folks, those that have been gone for a while, and also the ones that are traveling. We hope they can get back home as well. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 3, I'd like to use this as a jumping off place, so to speak. Maybe before we do that, I've been asked to go to help in the ordination there in Fairland. And they gave me this subject, Builders in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I would like to, I thought I'd just share the message. And I hope, or I would like for you to give me some more pointers in this message. I don't feel like I have it all together yet. So you're kind of a guinea pig in this. We desire to be faithful to the Lord. And the other one message, I have preached two messages out there, and the other one is the value of a plural ministry. And that's a blessing as well. So if you have any encouragement or scriptures or experiences, please feel free to share that with me. Builders in the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3. Maybe we'll start reading in verse 5. Verse 4 says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos have watered, but God giveth the increase," or gave the increase. "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth." He is saying, I am nothing before God. I am just a vessel that God can use. It is God that works in our heart. It is God that works in your heart. And he may use Paul and Apollos. He may use me. He may use you. But it's still God that works in our heart. It is not a work of man. "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You know, first of all, we have to, and we do acknowledge that this building of the Church of Jesus Christ is Christ's work. If we turn over to Matthew chapter 16, it tells us here, verse 13, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he saith unto them, But whom do ye say that I am? And they, And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The thought I'd like to leave to glean out of these verses is verse 18. It says, I will build my church. I will build my church. Jesus Christ saying these words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. It is, again, God that giveth the increase. Now, some humbling thoughts. Christ has entrusted this building of this work, this building of his church, into the hands of man. He has entrusted that work into your hands this morning. He has entrusted that into my hands. He has entrusted that, the work of his church, into the lives of the men and women that acknowledge and that do acknowledge from day to day his lordship in their lives. You know, without Christ's influence and presence in our heart, we are not a part of his bride, and neither do we work in his bride, because we're not there. And therefore, we're not a builder or a worker in the kingdom of God. Romans 8:9 says, we're just going to read a couple verses here to remind us that we are to be a child of God before we can be part of the bride of Christ. It doesn't necessarily say that in some of these verses, but the thought is there. But you, Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If we don't have the Spirit of Christ in our heart, then we're not Christ. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, now these are Jesus' words, he that believeth on me and the works that I shall do, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So, again, I'd like to leave that thought with us. To be a worker in the kingdom of God, we need the Spirit of God. We need to be a part of the kingdom of God in our hearts. You know, men in their humanity, we all know, as we look at, as you look at me, and I can maybe see a little bit of humanity in y'all, how God can, I mean, when he does his work in our hearts, he doesn't create or make immediately a perfect man. He doesn't do that. We are still humans. We are still imperfect, prone to failure, prone to mistakes. You know, and at times we can kind of make a mess out of God's work. We really can. And it's shame on us, but we do sometimes because of our humanity. We are called to repentance and confession, and to repent of our humanity and humility, trying to understand who God is and who we are in the sight of God. And that makes it so much plainer who we are, is if we can see God, if we look at God. God in his holiness, God in his truth, God in his perfectness, using man to do his work is such a humiliating, if I say that word right, humiliating thought. So what does it take for us this morning to be a builder in the church? The thought of building, and I can't pronounce that Greek word, but that Greek word builder means to be a house builder, to construct, to confirm, or to be a builder, or to be a building, or build up, edify. So we can be a builder, we can be building, and we can also be encouraged. That's what that word means, that to be a builder. We can be a builder. As we are a builder, we are a putting together of a structure. We are being constructed. And we also help you to be instructed. It's all in one. So are you a builder in the Church of Jesus Christ this morning? You know, to be a builder, as a one that goes out and builds, we are the ones that go out and do the work. We are the one that, now we know we can't lay another foundation because Christ is laid, but we can build upon that foundation. We can help lay the blocks. We can help put the floor down. We can pound the nails. We can put the screws in the drywall. We can help wire. We can help put the windows in, the whatever goes into building a house. It is our responsibility to be there and help. To be a builder, we need people, or we need to be a people that are sensitive to the Spirit of God, that love His Word, and that take His Word seriously, as we heard last night, and are concerned about the walk, to walk in obedience to God's direction given in His Word, and then be busy. You know, there are as many people that are dissatisfied with life because they don't have enough to do, or they don't find enough to do. Let's be busy in the kingdom. Okay, looking at the, I'd like to go to the book of Acts. It's been an inspiration to me the last couple of months. And I'd like to just glean some types of people that we need to have or be or I just saw this cup. Thank you, Johnny. We need to see the people that we had in Acts. The first one I thought about was Paul. Paul the visionary. Paul the energy bundle that was just, you know, he about couldn't contain himself. He was here and he was there. You know, in our way of thinking, sometimes we say they're just all over, not worth anything. But Paul was here. He was a visionary. He saw the people out there. And he loved to go out and go on that missionary journey. So we need those visionary people. Last night we heard about Owen's vision for the work in Romania. He mentioned the Faith Mission Home type home over there. He mentioned a Penn Valley retreat over there. He mentioned a book route, like a choice books route. He mentioned literature. And, you know, in all his mention, he said he knows it takes some money and commitment. It takes investment. But it seemed like he was a visionary trying to get the gospel out to the people. And that's what we need. We need Pauls in the church. We need to be a Paul. Not everybody can be a Paul. But we can all work. Let's look at Acts 16. Verses 9 through and 10. This was Paul. To the Paul. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Immediately. We need visionaries that have visions to start churches, to
to plant churches. We need visionaries to start intermission cities. That inner city missions. That was another vision that Owen mentioned. We need people that can organize street meetings. We need people that have the vision to do these things, and not only do them, but have the energy then to put their own shoulder to the wheel and get out there and do it. We need people with a vision to search out possibilities, to inspire others to get their hands dirty, as it were. You know, Paul was a tremendous bundle of energy in the early church. He went on at least 3 or 4 different mission trips that lasted for years. He was instrumental in starting many churches across the Asian world over there. He wrote many letters of encouragement and instruction to those that were under his leadership. So we need Paul's, the visionaries. That is one way to be a builder, is to be a visionary. We need Peter's. Peter was another man that was very instrumental in the early church. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. This was when he saw that vision of, sheet coming down. And had all those animals on it, and then God used that to show him that the gospel is open to the Gentiles. What he has made clean, man shall not call unclean. I didn't write any verses down on this one. But Peter's main calling, as I understand it, was those he preached his gospel to the Jews, to those of his home people. So we need those that stay at home. We need people that stay at home and preach the gospel in their daily lives. We need Peter's, those that are bold to preach the gospel and to their family, to their friends, their neighbors, those that meet in the way, helping us at home to see how God is working. You know, he came back with a report from Acts 11 to, I think in in Acts 12, you see that, excuse me, I was in Acts 10. No wonder I couldn't really find it. Well, we'll leave those verses. But we need people that can remind the local church of God's working in the lives of those around him. We need Peters. So we need Paul the visionaries. We need Peters the stay-at-home preachers. Those are needful. Those are builders. The next one I thought about was Philip. We need Philips. We need Philips in the church. In Acts 8, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, Well, how can I, except some man should guide me? Excuse me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto them him, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. We need Philips in the church, do we not? Philips that are ready, willing to drop everything and go and help this person. They are ready to leave their own work behind. They are willing to go when God says go, through the voice of the church, through the Spirit. Philips just immediately dropped everything and went. We need Philips in the church. We need Philips to be builders in the church. Philip had a family to provide for. I don't know for sure. But he was ready to go when the Spirit said go. He was ready to go and help someone in need. Even an Ethiopian eunuch. Are you a Philip this morning? Are you ready to drop everything and go and help? Are we willing to open ourselves to those around us and share the good news of the gospel with those that are searching? We need Philips in the church to be builders. Now, we also need Barnabases. You know, Barnabas was a compassionate man he just showed a lot of compassion to people. We need Barnabas to be a builder. Acts 15 is a story of Barnabas. Verse 36. Acts 15, verse 36. Now, this was right after or soon after John Mark had left Paul and Barnabas on their mission or a trip, and he turned back and went back to Jerusalem. And that is, I don't remember, I have it here somewhere, but maybe we'll come across that a little later. But let's read verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed. But Barnabas was willing to give John Mark the second chance. Barnabas was willing to reach out, and he saw something in John Mark that Paul didn't see. And he was willing to give him the second chance. Barnabas also I think he took him with him, walking beside him, probably encouraging him to be faithful, to be strong. Barnabas was also the one who took Paul, or Saul, under his wing in Acts 9. Barnabas was, I think it calls him, the son of consolation. Acts 9, verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him unto the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And through Barnabas' testimony, the disciples accepted him. So are you a Barnabas this morning? We need Barnabas in the church. We need to be builders in compassion. Another one we need is a Dorcas. We need a Dorcas. Or we need Dorcases in the church. In Acts 9, verse 36, now there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints, the widows presented her alive. This morning, we need builders that are Dorcases. Those that are compassionate in helping the poor and the widows in their affliction. You know, she was a busy woman. She was busy helping those that were in need. She was busy sewing for the poor. She was busy going over to their houses and helping for a day. And working beside them, showing compassion, being a friend to the friendless. Maybe she noticed a busy young mother with her many duties and the children that were had needs, household duties. And she just said, I'm here to help you today. A Dorcas. We need builders that are Dorcases. Maybe she saw that this family's garden is just kind of, the weeds are taking over. And I'm sure they didn't have a tiller out there, but she grabbed a hoe and she started hoeing. Maybe she started sewing dresses for these young girls. We know she sewed dresses and what does it say? Garments, coats and garments. We know she did that. But she was busy helping others. Building brotherhood. Maybe she came over and said, I'm just going to work in your kitchen today and make a lot of baked goods for you. I don't know what she did. But this morning we need builders that are called Dorcas. May we be Dorcases this morning. You know, we all also need Dorcases that are brethren. Brethren that are willing to help, willing to get out of their comfort zone and encourage one another. And you know, there's many a time that you, brethren, have blessed me. You know, helping get firewood for the season. There's brethren that went with me for a day and just helped me work. There are brethren that gladly give their day to help build a house or a shop or a barn or whatever is needed, helping financially. These are ways that we can help and bless other people via Dorcas. And then we also need builders called Aquila and Priscilla, and maybe even Ananias. Acts 9, again, going back to Acts 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go to the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for he, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands upon him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Teachers that can explain and teach the way of God more perfectly, that can help these people find the way of God. Acts 18 is the story of Aquila and Priscilla. And a certain Jew named Apollos. Now remember who Apollos was. Apollos, there in 1 Corinthians 3, people were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Apollos was a real influential teacher in the early church. But this was after this particular story here. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. This morning we need Aquila and Priscillas. We need Ananiases that are willing to teach and to explain and expound unto people the way of God more perfectly. Faithfully teaching and discipling the people of God to help them grow more perfectly in the knowledge of God and His Word. And then the last one, I have what I call the Acts 12:12 people. We need Acts 12:12 people. Brethren that are willing to do Acts 12:12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken. But as Peter was in the prison, as Peter was right up to the very threshold of his death, the next day he would have been executed. The people, the church, the brethren were praying, and they prayed to God, and God heard them and delivered Peter and brought him out right into their very midst. So we need, brethren, builders, that are Acts 12:12 people. People that can carry the burden to God and leave it there and learn. Now, just a couple other thoughts. None of these men and women were perfect or complete in themselves. God knows that we need every one of us. Every one of us needs everybody else. We all need each other, and we do well to acknowledge that. Paul needed Barnabas to present him unto the apostles at Jerusalem. We read that in Acts 9. Peter and Barnabas needed Paul. If you turn to Galatians, you'll see that story. Peter and Barnabas needed Paul. Galatians 2, verse 11. And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulations. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Here, Peter and Barnabas were kind of, they were swayed by the people, by the Jews. And they needed the stabilizing presence of Paul in their life. You know, the apostles needed the seven deacons to help them in Acts 6. So we are not perfect in ourselves. We are not complete in ourselves. We need each other. 1 Corinthians 12:27, Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, and then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, and may we be builders in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.